Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander, engineering today's show, making sure all the buttons are pushed in the right direction. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, November 24th, 2014. We're launching into Thanksgiving week. We're going to have live shows today and tomorrow, then Wednesday, Thanksgiving, and Black Friday. We've put together some very good programs for you, some best of interview programs of the Buckmaster Show. Right now, we are live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And of course, we're broadcasting from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And we want to tell you that, as usual, on a Monday afternoon, we are happy to get going with our Monday political face-off. About 12:35, we'll have our nutrition reporter, Jack Chalom. Very serendipitous to have Jack on Thanksgiving week. We'll all be eating quite a bit this week, so he'll be talking about some of your nutritional concerns. And then 12:45, Dr. Mark Sykes of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute joins us. The live line number on the Buckmaster Show is 790-2040, and of course our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Our Monday political face-off today, commentator John Munger is with us. Mr. Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents and 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. And another well-known attorney, Vince Robigo, longtime Democrat Party activist, former Arizona Attorney General candidate, and he heads up the Pima County Democrat Party Hispanic Caucus. He is chair of that group. Committee or caucus? Am I okay with
that? The official name is either caucus, but as long as you don't call us late for the Buckmaster Show.
There you go. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. And I want to tell you that first ever inventory sale going very well. Sale items 25 to 75% off. They haven't had that inventory sale in like 30 years, so it was time to clean out the archives, and there was some really good stuff in there. I've been over there and checked it out, so check out Moe's Gallery. John, how was your weekend?
Excellent weekend. Excellent. Just a really nice weekend.
And Vince, a good one?
A great weekend. Great weekend. Good football game by the U of A as well.
Yeah. Surprising, wasn't it? Everyone thought this was going to be such a tough game playing up there with the rain and snow and all that, and the Cats just ran that ball.
Dominated.
Yeah. I mean, you have to go back many years to see a more significant game with ASU than this one Friday.
And what's really interesting is both Anu Solomon and Wilson are freshmen.
Yeah.
Wow. I think that's correct. And that's very exciting for Arizona football.
Yeah, but I mean, huge game Friday.
Huge game coming up. And so I know I come from a divided family. I've got family members who went to ASU. And of course, I like to joke the smart ones went to U of A. But no, we're all one big family here. But it's rivalry time.
It is. Game is sold out, but it will be on national TV for everybody across the country to see. Vince, this morning, attorneys for Ron Barber filed a lawsuit in federal court alleging that 131 ballots in the CD2 race were improperly rejected. Of course, the margin of difference here in the overall race was Colonel Martha McSally with a 161 vote lead. Do you think this might change anything, Vince?
Well, you know, if the votes were to stand and this lawsuit were successful, mm-hmm. In other words, the votes, the margin. If this lawsuit was successful, you include these votes, but the vote differential doesn't otherwise change, then McSally still wins. So what I think appears at least from the face of the filing, has to be the strategy is either that, you know, in the process, there are going to be margins that go back and forth when they're doing the official recount.
Which starts, I think, next week.
Correct, unless this lawsuit is successful to make sure that these votes are included. I skimmed it. I haven't read it. I know there's a lot of exhibits and attachments. It's like 266 pages or 166 pages. I forget which. But what they're saying is stop the certification and recount until you properly include these lawfully cast votes, or and then go forward with whatever you're doing. That's as, at least as far as I can tell what the strategy might be, unless they are in the process of coming up with other voters, you know, through this process that are also saying, hey, wait a second, I did the same thing, and my vote wasn't cast. And they did point out some interesting things. I don't know if John has had a chance to look at this.
I have not.
There is a very, very interesting issue has to do with apparently there is no state law for when, let's say you go into the voting precinct and you don't have proper ID, but you're an eligible lawful voter and they let you cast a ballot. Here in Pima County, I think they give you to the following Wednesday or 10 days later, I forget what it is, to come back in and show, here's my ID, I'm a lawful voter, let my ballot be counted. Apparently, there is no statute or regulation on this, and the counties have different dates and deadlines. Mm-hmm. So one county could say, okay, you know, people come in and they go in and do the test, but somebody who goes in on a different day in a different county might not get counted. That's an interesting issue. It doesn't affect the total numbers, but I think there are some they've honed in on what appears to be some of the potential flaws in the process of how it works.
Well, this is going to go on, John, a while. There's no question.
Yeah, it's going to go on a while, and I haven't analyzed the case where I really have, as a lawyer, won't make any comment about it because I just don't know what the basis for the appeal is. You know, we'll just have to see how it comes out.
Well, one thing I know you are ready to talk about, and yes. You've been talking on Facebook about the...
About our king, our dictator.
And I know you are raring to go here on the president's executive action on immigration. Let me ask you, John, what should the response be of the Republicans to this?
Well, first let's explain what happened here. What happened here is that the law on the books says that this particular group of people that Obama legalized, the law says they are illegal and they are not entitled to green cards. What Obama did is said, I'm going to treat them as legal and I'm giving them green cards. That is a direct violation of the law. That is not prosecutorial discretion as the Democrats like to say. That's not a choice of whether or not we're going to prosecute. That is giving somebody something that the law says they are not entitled to. And that is illegal and it's unconstitutional. Now, the president justifies that on the basis that, well, he demanded that Congress pass a law and they refused to do it. Well, I'm sorry. That's the way our system works. And that doesn't give him a right, a president doesn't have the right to say, I demand you pass a law, and if you don't, I'm going to pass my own. That's the way our system works. What he's done, as a lawyer, I'm telling you, any competent lawyer is going to tell you it's unconstitutional.
All right, let's let Vince jump in here.
Apparently, John has not read what the president has done because the green that is absolutely false that the president is giving permanent green cards. That is false, John, and you know that.
No,
that is
not
absolutely
false.
In fact, the difference between granting deferred action and prioritizing who's going to be pursued for removal is entirely different. Now, the question of being able to apply, just as with the Dreamers, with what was done with the DACA Act, D-A-C-A, to apply for temporary work status is what was provided in for the parents of citizens. And that is a big thing. It is false, 100% false, to say that what the president gave green cards.
See, that's giving them work permits.
You're drawing a distinction
between a work permit and a green card.
John, if you cannot demagogue on the issue, you lose. And that is the issue here is there are no green cards authorized by this. Right. That is absolutely false. And to say otherwise is demagoguery and trying to fit your argument that he's a dictator and an emperor when George W. Bush did this for about 40% of the immigrant population when he was president, when he expanded, and there was no outcry then, and you're trying to fit facts into an argument that doesn't work, and you know it.
You're drawing a distinction for the listener.
It's a legal distinction, and as a lawyer, you know there's a distinction. Huge distinction.
Let me add my comments. You're drawing a distinction between a green card and a work permit. For these purposes, they are the same thing.
What purposes?
for purposes of being able to legally work. They
cannot. It's not a green card then. It's not a green card.
I believe,
you can stay here.
I believe it's a green card. But even if what you're saying is correct, every paper I've read says it's a green card. But I will tell you, it doesn't make a difference. The law says they are not legally entitled to work. And it doesn't matter whether Congress has passed a law or not. The president doesn't have a right to give somebody the right to work when the law says they don't have the right to work. He doesn't have that power. So you're making a distinction without a difference. I don't believe you're correct, incidentally. I think it is a green card, but whether it's a work permit or a green card, they amount to the same thing, the right to work. And the law says they don't have the right to work. There is also a major difference between prosecutorial discretion saying, we don't have the money to and the resources to prosecute this particular person, versus saying, we're going to take a whole group of people and say, we're not prosecuting them because I don't want to. There's a difference between saying prosecutorial discretion is a matter of resources. That's prosecutorial discretion, but it is not prosecutorial discretion to say, we got the resources, but I don't want you to do it.
All right,
Vince, that's illegal.
Real quickly, and then we can take the break.
There's a huge difference. A green card means, hey, you can stay in this country. That's forever. There's no issue there. You can work. You can do whatever you want.
Okay. Sorry.
That's a huge difference.
We've got a bunch
versus temporary relief, which many presidents have done in the past.
Distinction without a difference.
We have a bunch of people on hold, so if they'll just kind of bear with us, let's take the break right here. Ed, it's 12:16. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. We'll be right back.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service, either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847. Welcome back. It's the Monday Political Face-Off brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge, Moe'sGallery.com, and on Facebook. First ever inventory sale, 25 to 75% off. Vince Robago is here and John Munger. Joe, Tom, and Zach are all patiently waiting. Joe is first because he's waited the longest. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'll try to be quick, but
please.
This is how I know this is a carefully, centrally planned kabuki dance. I hear all the Republicans fainting and crying, stomping their little tiny feet about, you know, the executive action and the just the hubris and all these, you know, politically charged terms. But nobody's talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade pact that is going around. That is a big, hairy monster. You know what, John? You couldn't see it. You're not privy to that information. You weren't good enough to make the select cut. Congress wasn't. Senate, House, nobody. It was corporately written, but yet we love that. We embrace it. And that why don't we ever even talk about the lack of representation? What's in it's like Nancy Pelosi. Just vote through and look in the bill. Then you get to see what's in there.
Okay. I don't know if our guys know anything about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Do they?
Well, I know just enough to know that I'm concerned about it. It's essentially a trade partnership that appears to be sort of on some sort of a track to be approved without any sort of real input or representational process. And I do have to give kudos to Joe. I haven't studied it in detail, but what little I've heard of it, I have concerns.
Oh, okay. John?
I know nothing about it. But
you will look into it.
Sure, I will.
Okay,
sure.
All right. Next call is Tom. You are up to the plate. Tom, go ahead. Hey, Tom.
Yes, if people who normally don't vote in off-year elections did vote, at least some of them, maybe 500 of them, would Ron Barber be the clear winner?
Okay.
Who knows?
I don't know. What do you think?
It's very, very hard to say. It depends on who those voters are. And I think that the big issue, at least as I can see from the lawsuit, and we'll see what happens as it plays out, is that there were people who voted, and there were votes that were simply not counted. So, for example, Arizona follows what's called, for example, the right church, wrong pew law. So, you know, somebody who's a CD2 voter that goes in to vote, but goes into the wrong precinct, he's allowed to vote a provisional ballot. But because he went to the wrong precinct, even though that district is very large and encompasses many precincts, maybe including his own, his vote won't get counted. He'll get to vote. It gets separated later when they realize he's in the wrong precinct, doesn't get counted. Now, his wife, for example, comes in and got a mail-in ballot. She walks in with him. She can turn that ballot into any precinct, and her vote gets counted. So those are some of the weird problematic issues that have been identified in this lawsuit and in this whole process. These are people that did vote, for example. So the one who voted in the wrong precinct gets his vote thrown out. The wife who got a mail-in ballot and walks into the wrong precinct, her vote gets counted.
All right, let's go back to immigration. Zach, you are up to the plate. Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Vince, real quickly, and no spin, please, because let's look at the fact that the president had both chambers of the House for his first 2 years, and he could have done anything he wanted with immigration. But my question for you is this. What has changed in the last few weeks, which is allowing the president to do this executive order when he has been on the record 22 times or 19 times publicly saying that he did not have the authority to pull this executive order off, and it was unconstitutional? So what has changed? I'm not a lawyer. I'm a layman, but it looks highly, highly political to me.
Okay.
I appreciate the question because I think that the president, well, first of all, the Congress and the president, and I'm talking about both parties and the president, should have done this. And they should have done it back in the first administration, first 4 years. So I agree it should have been done. It should have been done in a manner in which it was done through statute, because mm-hmm. then there wouldn't be any debate. As far as the secondary issue, the question of politics, I think he had lawful authority back then. I think he was politically scared away from doing things, and in particular, even the more that the election approached, you saw it with the election. As he had already said he was going to do it, then the election was coming along, and he said, okay, I'm going to wait till after the election. You know what? He could have done it back then. There was law professors, and speaking to the legal issue, something like 130-plus law professors sent him letters a couple years back saying, hey, you have mm-hmm. the discretion as the chief executive prosecutor, which is what he is. He makes those decisions.
Yeah.
Who are we going to focus on?
But people
he can do that. But I think it was political.
Prosecutorial
political
discretion. But that's not what he did here.
People do wonder about the timing of
this.
Well,
I will tell you, Obama has professed to be the constitutional law professor. And he's the guy that purports to be a great resource of constitutional law. And this last caller is absolutely correct. He himself got up, and he certainly wouldn't have done it without not only his own knowledge of constitutional law, but the knowledge that had been given to him by his own internal legal resources, that he did not have the power and that only a king or an emperor could do what he has just done. He has just violated his own statements that he had
political
no power.
Statements.
Well, I'm sorry, those weren't political statements.
Those were
based upon his assessment of constitutional law as a constitutional law professor.
He himself
said he couldn't do it, and he just turned around and did it.
Okay, let me correct the record just slightly. And if you go back and look at all those things, he was talking in politics. He was talking as a political person. Not once did he say, I'm telling you this as an immigration and constitutional scholar. He was talking as a political leader. And why I'm making this point right now is that for one of the few times, and this goes for both parties, the president actually had his Office of Legal Counsel, which they rarely reveal or allow legal documentation from their internal attorneys to come out. And so they had, based on a recent evaluation, given he was looking at this, what are we going to do? Can I do this? Presented those questions to his team, a team of constitutional lawyers who worked there for the Office of Legal Counsel. And that document was released showing the legal bases, showing how this is within his authority of prosecutorial discretion. Mm. And at the end of the day, it also makes good policy once you understand that we're focusing on terrorists, felons, multiple misdemeanants, and not people that don't have criminal records.
He could have done that. He could have focused on felons and terrorists without giving people who the law says have no right to work, legalizing them effectively and making them legal workers. He could have used prosecutorial discretion and said, I'm not going to even look at those people. That's what he had been doing previously, Vince. And okay, you know, I may disagree with that, but he had the power of prosecutorial discretion to say who he was going to prosecute with his limited resources. But that's not what he did here.
That
he
is what he did.
He violated the letter of the law, and he himself said about 22 times that he didn't have the authority to do that. Only a king or an emperor did.
All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. Vince, I'm sorry, I'm not going to give you any more
time. That's okay.
But we're going to have to run. Okay.
That's okay. Read the bill, John. Read what he did. I mean, the action.
You read it.
I did.
Okay,
no, you didn't.
All right.
No, you didn't.
Happy Thanksgiving to both of you. I hope you have a great time and this Thanksgiving week. Thanks for your service to the show. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. First ever inventory sale. Get over there, 25 to 75% off. Check out Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We'll be right back.
Fall 1621, and the pilgrims are readying their crops, but in the turkey barn, trouble is brewing.
We cannot stand for this injustice. All turkeys are equal. Just some of us are more equal than others. We shall not end up on a dinner table. We will escape.
Oh no, we must capture those turkeys.
I can fix that, Governor. I'm an auto mechanic.
Eustace Emery, mechanic? Strange no one's invented the automobile yet. Oh well, if you can capture the turkeys, do it.
And so Thanksgiving was saved because Eustace Emery invented the Plymouth Arrow and recaptured the turkeys.
Perfection Auto Works, 1046 North Beverly, 323-8650. Or perfectionautoworks.com. 323-8650.
Immerse yourself in these fascinating wonders of science with the new UA SciPass. Explore Flandreau Science Center, Stewart Observatory Mirror Lab, and Biosphere 2 at a 39% total savings by purchasing your UA SciPass for only $30. This VIP pass is brought to you in partnership with the UA Bookstore and can be purchased by visiting b2science.org. Visit all these amazing science projects today with the new UA Science Pass.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. and now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040, 790-2040 is our live line number. Lots of us will be off for part of the Thanksgiving week. It'd be a great time to go over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson if you want to do some Christmas shopping. Historic downtown Silver City and all the variety of the art galleries over there. I'm sure you would find a unique, one-of-a-kind gift over there. To check out all of the fine places to stay and things to do, find places like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Georgetown Cabins and things to do, go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now on the live line the nutrition reporter, Mr. Jack Chalam. Jack is one of our two dozen contributors to this program. He's one of America's most trusted health writers, a member of the American Society for Nutrition, and best-selling author of more than 20 books, including The Inflammation Syndrome. And his latest book is called No More Fatigue. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill.
Well, watch out for those diet soft drinks. That's the warning in the lead article in the November edition of your Nutrition Reporter, which you produce. They are loaded, I guess, with sugar, even though they say they are a diet drink.
Well, it's not that they're loaded with sugar. It's that they have basically a similar effect to consuming regular soft drinks, which are loaded with sugar. So some background here might be helpful. A typical can of a soft drink has the equivalent of about 12 teaspoons of sugar. Try just spooning that into your mouth, you know, 12 teaspoons. I mean, no one can do it. It just goes down a lot easier as a soft drink. Now, for years, people have been substituting diet soft drinks, thinking, hey, this is kind of like a free check, you know. Mm-hmm. They can have it without the calories, without the risk of diabetes or obesity, things like that. And a few years ago, I mentioned this in one of my other books, Stop Prediabetes Now. When you consume soft drinks, the sweetness tells the brain there's sugar, even when it's not. So the body responds much the way it would with someone, you know, kind of like approaching prediabetes or diabetes. And so the body gets flooded with insulin, which is really just one of these pre-diabetic signs. It's not a good thing. Well, the latest chapter focused on something similar, but the whole mechanism was totally unexpected. And the artificial sweeteners act by changing the bacteria in our gut, which typically helps us digest food. And, you know, some of the initial studies were done with laboratory mice. And then the researchers who were based in Israel focused on 381 non-diabetic men and women. And what they saw was that those who consumed the most soft drinks with artificial sweeteners had more pre-diabetic signs. Higher blood sugar levels, higher HbA1c levels, another sign of prediabetes, more fat around the middle, yet another sign of prediabetes. And then they did a small experiment with seven people, and they basically fed them soft drinks or foods with artificial sweeteners, get this, for just 6 days.
Oh.
Four of the seven people in this study started to develop pre-diabetic symptoms.
In 6 days?
In 6 days.
Mm.
And so, you know, the take-home message here is don't touch any of this stuff. You know, stick to water. You know, maybe, you know, if you want some flavor, squeeze some lemon or lime, or just let a little bit of fruit soak in the water for just a few minutes before you consume it. But stay away from both the sugary soft drinks and the diet soft drinks.
You know, I remember when the whole thing came about, when they introduced these diet drinks, it was really the early 60s. I mean, they've been around for more than 50 years, and people just assumed they weren't harmful in any way.
Yeah, and again, the real lesson here is there's no free ride. And, you know, of course, the soft drink companies deny any negative health effects, and they keep saying everything's safe in moderation. But, you know, a six-day study shows these things are not safe, even in moderation.
Yeah, and that study, by the way, was in the magazine Nature, which is a leading scientific and medical journal. We're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line. David would like to comment about all of this. You're with Jack Chalom. Go ahead, David.
Hi. My grandson, Richie, he was diagnosed with diabetes, and his doctor said that it was a direct cause of all the artificial sweeteners and all the diet Coca-Colas and all that he was drinking.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
He tried to sue him, but apparently it, you know, there's some warranty online that causes him not to, but he ended up moving to Africa.
Mm. Wow. Well, anyway, they're think twice, I guess, about diet soft drinks is your message, correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Soft drink, actually, you have said you talk about the gut bacteria and probiotics, and you also have something that's very interesting about probiotics, and a little vitamin C have a big effect on infections.
Yeah, this is another interesting study, and we've known for years about, you know, Linus Pauling's recommendations back in the 1970s about using vitamin C to fight the common cold. This was a European study that focused on 57 children, preschool age, and they were given a very small amount of vitamin C, 50 milligrams daily, which you know, is probably okay for kids that age. But the real kicker was they were given a probiotic supplement. And there's some fascinating research that goes back to about 1990 showing that the good bacteria in our gut help modulate our immune systems. And the effect in this study of the small amount of vitamin C and the probiotic supplements was nothing short of dramatic. And they looked at upper respiratory tract infections, which are going to be very common in about a month. And the symptoms decreased, get this, by 21 days.
Mm.
Comparing the kids taking the probiotics and vitamin C versus those getting placebos. Sneezing was decreased by about 7 days, cough by 11 days, et cetera, et cetera. And parents of small children know, you know, as we get into the winter, these infections just kind of like linger, or the kid just kind of like gets one bug, gets over it, gets another. And just taking a probiotic supplement, or, you know, maybe breaking open the capsule and adding it to some mashed potatoes might be a good way to sneak it in.
All right. Let's go to the live line again for Jack Chalam. Lauren wants to talk about sugars. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yes, gentlemen. Thank you. I'll try to keep it brief. The sugar seems to be the buzzword of the day and always seems to be a culprit and be suspect. And my question is, ever since middle age, I think I heard in terms of nutrition that during the processes of digestion, starches like corn and pasta and potatoes turn into sugar. And I thought, oh, no, I don't want to be consuming more sugar.
Something to think about at Thanksgiving, right? Go ahead, Jack. Comment.
Yeah, Lauren, you're correct. These carbohydrates are broken down into glucose, which is a simple sugar, and we need some of that. Where we tend to go wrong is by consuming the pure sugars or too many of the real simple carbohydrates. And the simple carbohydrates are those things we find in bread and pasta and pizza. And of course, you know, there are the sugars in soft drinks and so many processed foods. We do better with more complex carbohydrates, and those are found in fruits and veggies. And that's the way I tend to go. I consume very, very little bread. And when I do, it's kind of like a treat.
Okay, Jack, have a great Thanksgiving. Where can people get a hold of the Nutrition Reporter?
NutritionReporter.com. And thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Jack Chalam, the Nutrition Reporter, with us on the Buckmaster Show. Remember, this week, the final week for extraordinary savings of the Rug Gallery's big sale that's going on till the end of the month. So get over there to the Rug Gallery, Campbell and River, for their anniversary sale and extraordinary savings. Coming up on 1246, Dr. Mark Sykes, head of the Planetary Science Institute, with our monthly Out of This World interview with Dr. Sykes. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
Are termites chewing on more than your Yule log this holiday season? Five-Star Termite and Pest Control's patented foaming process will rid your home of termites before your first snowball fight on Mount Lemmon. So call Five-Star today and replace those termite tubes hanging from your ceiling with mistletoe and find someone to smooch under it. Call Five-Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
Five-Star Pest Control, we know what bugs you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back to the Monday edition Thanksgiving week of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, with live streaming at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. Let's welcome now Dr. Mark Sykes. Dr. Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute, which was created in 1972. And I can remember that date because that's the year I was married. So that's how it comes so readily to me. So that means you're really getting into your 43rd year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. And you had a very, very, you were part of, along with like 800 other scientists who were in town. It was a really big deal. The American Astronomical Society, the Division for Planetary Sciences, held kind of their annual, I guess it's annual convention.
Or yeah, annual conference.
Conference, so, yeah.
Here in Tucson.
Yeah.
First time since 1996.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was a great meeting.
And, of course, at the topic of discussion was this Rosetta mission to the comet.
A spectacular mission. They've been traveling for 10 years. They made it to the comet. They sent down a lander. PSI actually had a role in providing a shape model to the Europeans for targeting, and it landed right where it was supposed to land, except that then it bounced, and it went off a kilometer or so to the side and got stuck at the wall of a crater, but it was still able to function and drill into the comet and sample local gases and provide a lot of rich information, which we're, you know, just starting to hear about now.
And this is drilling into the comet. This has never been done before.
Never. Well, except for the one spacecraft that kind of slammed into the comet. You know,
yeah,
that was another experiment.
But we've never purposely landed on a comet before.
Right,
correct?
Right.
So this is why this is such a big deal.
Yeah.
And you said we're starting to learn about the composition of the comet. Well, there's been several big articles about organic material on a comet, and I'm not quite sure, reading these articles, it made it sound like this is a huge discovery.
Well, it's kind of like discovering water on Mars again, but the When people hear the word organic, they think life,
right?
Because that's our normal use of the word. But in chemistry, when you hear the word, when you use the word organic, it means it's a carbon compound. So carbon dioxide can be organic, and hydrogen HCN could be organic, and so they're detecting some of these molecules with carbon atoms in the molecule on the surface of the comet. But the reason why that's cool is not that we're finding life or anything like that, but when we see the gases, the comas from the comets, you know, we look up in the sky, and the molecules that we see there are primarily daughter products, because the molecules come off the comet, the gases come off, and a lot of them are destroyed by ultraviolet radiation from the sun. So we kind of figure out, well, what did they come from? And so, but when you're sitting down on the surface of the comet and you can sample the gases right there, you're sampling what we call the parent molecules. And that gives us more direct information about the composition of the comet. And so that's a very cool measurement to make.
Where is this comet located?
In space?
Is it between what and what?
It's, I think it's about 3 AU from the sun, or about 3 times the distance from the Earth to the moon. It's moving in towards perihelion. We're going to watch it turn on. In fact, when you stretch some of the images coming back from the comets, you already see jets, you know, going, and from some weird angles and things. And so we're going to see the comet get active, go through its maximum activity period, and then come back around. So it's we're going to see stuff up close and personal that has never been seen before.
It's kind of amazing that they could land on something so small out there in space.
Well,
is this
gravity works at all kinds of scales? It's very slow. You know, it fell very slowly. And and it's only a few centimeters per second squared that's kind of sticking it to the surface there. And one question will be if there's some activity right under where the Philae lander is, will that, you know, maybe lift it up or help adjust it to a position where it can get some more sunlight and turn back on again?
We're talking with Dr. Mark Sykes, director of the Planetary Science Institute. And when you start talking about comets, he gets very excited because in your career, kind of early on, I guess, you discovered comet dust trails that identified banks of interplanetary dust arising from asteroid collisions. So this must be really exciting to you, what's going on with Rosetta.
Yeah, when you look up into the sky, if you could see the thermal infrared, you'd see things from comets that look like giant airplane contrails, mm-hmm. you know, streaking across the sky. That's a comet trail. Mm-hmm. That's why I call them trails. Mm-hmm. And one of those trails that I discovered back in the day was Churyumov-Gerasimenko, which is the comet that Rosetta went to.
Wow.
And so it's kind of cool to see this object, which I've actually been studying for about 30 years off and on.
Did your early research into this particular comet have any influence on why they chose to land on this particular comet?
No, but there was a period of time when we were worried about is how it approaches and is it going to hit these particles that are in the trail. But it was coming in at an angle that made that not so much of a problem, and at a slow velocity.
And here's kind of I always say, you know, there really are no stupid questions, I guess, when you're talking to a planetary science, and I'm not a planetary science, but I'm just curious, the trails of comets, do they vary considerably in length?
Yes, because comet orbits, they shift around a bit. And so if you've got a trail extending behind a comet, and then the comet orbits shift, then the source of that trail disappears, and you end up with a little disconnected trail there and a new trail growing behind the comet. Mm-hmm. And these are trail particles are like birdshot. You know, they're millimeter, centimeter size particles. And so some we see that they show a record of years of emission, and in one case, like Tempel 2, centuries of emission.
Was this comet at one time part of a planet that broke away from a planet?
No, comets formed in the outer part of the solar system, you know, generally, and then they got tossed around as planets were moved around and forming in the early solar system, and so it could be a collisional product of a larger object, but not a planet-sized, not likely a planet-sized body.
But they've been around a while, usually.
Billions of years, yes, yes.
Dr. Sykes, good to see you. And as far as this particular this mission, as you say, it kind of ran into an unexpected little collision on a wall or something. It was
the spears didn't deject, yeah. And you know they were going to hold it to the surface as those.
That cuts down on the total mission.
Well, because it got into a shadow, and so the batteries, the solar panels powering the batteries were shielded up, and so the batteries ultimately died. So we've got to wait for more sun to shine on it at some point, hopefully.
All right. I strongly recommend folks check out Planetary Science Institute. They are homegrown right here in Tucson. I'm a member, and I urge folks to become a member of this great nonprofit. And you're easy to locate. And I want to always say com or org, but no, it's PSI, planetarysscienceinstitute.edu is the best place to get to the website. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks so much to you, Bill.
All right. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. Thanks, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. And coming up tomorrow, Ed Alexander will be with the gang, the Wake Up Tucson gang, from 6 to 8, then the Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. We have another local talk show telling you about that one, for Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw, and then I'll be back 12:04 tomorrow with the Buckmaster Show. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.